Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Weekly Spooky is brought to you by our generous supporters on Patreon. Get access to exclusive podcasts, videos, and more for as little as $1 a month when you go to weeklyspooky.com and click on the Patreon link. Your support has gotten us to 100 episodes, so join up today and help us create another 100 and beyond. Head over to weeklyspooky.com and join the Patreon.
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday. And you know what that means. It's time for a little spooky in your weekly. I'm your host and narrator, Henrik Kuto, and we have a truly bizarre story this week that I know will grab your attention and imagination the way it grabbed mine. But first, a big thank you for listening. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. And while you're there, why not leave us a star review? It helps new people discover the program and allows us to grow a little bit every month. And I sure do appreciate it. And speaking of appreciation, I want to say a humongous thank you to all of you who have been joining up on our Patreon. Patreon is the number one way to support the show. And right now we have 85 backers. And I would love to hit 100 by the end of the year. For as little as $1 a month, you get bonus podcast episodes and so much more, as well as my undying gratitude. I just posted June's bonus episode on Monday, and it's a whole lot of fun, a whole different twist on the zombie apocalypse, and I hope you enjoy listening to it. Head to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon to support us today. I truly appreciate it greatly. And one more announcement before we get to tonight's story. Next month, July, will feature a brand new mini-series from the mind of Strickfield creator Rob Fields that I'm sure you're going to enjoy a whole hell of a lot. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. But for now, it's time to go to one of the most unlikely locations of a horror story ever. We're going to a small, sleepy town to a brand new worker at the largest employer in their little burg, a medical supply warehouse. So get comfortable and let's listen to the story now.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Cardboard. by Douglas Waltz.
I had just started working at the huge medical supply company in the warehouse department. Pretty simple stuff. You pick boxes and take them to packing stations, put them in bigger boxes, and after a pallet was full, you just put it on the truck. At the end of the night, the trucks came and took away the boxes. Like I said, pretty simple stuff. That was until I grabbed a box to put smaller boxes in, and a wave of what smelled like gunpowder and cooked cabbage assaulted my nostrils. My manager, Tony, happened to be walking by at the same time and saw my face. The explanation for the smell was perfectly reasonable, according to Tony. You see, there's a huge cardboard manufacturer outside of town near the waste reclamation plant. Cardboard, apparently, takes a huge amount of water to make, and clean water is more expensive than not-so-clean water. The waste reclamation plant let the cardboard plant have water to make cardboard. Sure, the heating process sterilized the cardboard, but sometimes the smell could not be cleaned away. So, with that little tidbit of information safely tucked away, I went back to my job. 2 weeks later, I had a huge order to pack, so I lined up four huge boxes to put the supplies in. It's called an 808. All the different sizes of boxes have a different number, and 808 was the biggest one we had. Anyway, as I was packing, I heard a whisper of a voice. No actual words, just a whisper. I popped my head out of the box and realized that I was alone on the loading dock. The whisper was gone. I went back to packing and heard the whisper again. I concentrated to try to catch any words, and all I heard was a small, feeble cry for help. I checked my phone to see if I'd left it on or something, and nothing. It was off. The manager didn't like us to have the phones on when we were working, afraid we'd get run over by one of the madmen who drove the forklifts. I shook it off, finished packing boxes, and put them on the truck. I thought nothing of it, until it happened again. This time, the voice was much louder and insistent. My head felt like it was full of cotton, and the smell was, it was so strong. Gunpowder and cabbage overwhelmed my senses. The box seemed reasonable to me. The plan came together so easy it was frightening. It was Friday. The warehouse was never open on weekends. The management was too greedy to pay us overtime, so from Friday night to Monday morning, the place was like a ghost town. When we all went to leave, I told my fellow workers that I forgot my lunch bag, and I'd see them on Monday. I watched them from the dark break room window as they all drove away to their lives. Then, I got to work. The boxes were kept on pallets flat. We assembled them as we needed them with packing tape. The warehouse itself was huge, filled with wire racks that had boxes of all shapes and sizes. Those would come in handy as I got closer to the fruition of my plan. I found a box that was filled with box cutters, the hard plastic type with the slider on the side that revealed a razor-sharp steel piece ready to cut. I started by dragging pallets of boxes towards the main entrance to the building. It was important that this be finished before Monday, or it would never work. I made a huge wall with layers of cardboard that were reinforced with packing tape. That part was easy because we have those nice tape guns with the handle and serrated steel to properly tear the tape as it was used. The voice told me it needed tunnels. Tunnels to block the light of the building and the few windows that we had. I made row after row of cardboard boxes, taping them together to form a bizarre labyrinth system of tunnels that, as they grew larger and larger, so did the voice in my head. It seemed pleased with my progress. Soon my stomach grumbled. I checked my watch, and I had been working for 5 hours straight. I went to the break room and foraged for leftovers in the 3 refrigerators that the workers used to keep food to eat. I stuffed myself with the questionable contents of 4 or 5 Tupperware containers and immediately went back to work. My existence was a blur of folding and cutting and taping over and over and over again. I cut cardboard until my hands were covered in hundreds of tiny little nicks. The first time I got blood on one of the boxes, I worried that the boxes might not like it. After all, they were just cardboard, and moisture of any kind meant death to any paper products. The voice, full and healthy from my concerted building effort, told me it wasn't bothered at all. I could feel that it actually appreciated the added ingredient of my lifeblood. Soon, the myriad of tunnels were decorated in small red blotches. I thought it added to the aesthetic of what I was creating. My arms started to ache from the repetitive motion, and I checked my watch again. It was Saturday night, and I had so much more to do before I was finished. Eventually, I ran out of box cutters, dull from overuse. The metal edge of the tape guns seemed to work for a while, but soon even those were starting to dull from the constant friction of the thick cardboard boxes. I began to use my teeth to tear at the unyielding material. It felt like it was becoming thicker as I worked. It was frightening me, and I knew I wasn't done. The voice told me how well I had done, and it needed one last thing. In the back, by the loading docks, we have machines that inflate thin sheets of plastic into bubble wrap. It made these huge rolls on a spindle, and when it reached the full diameter, it stopped. But I wasn't going to need the spindle. We had 2 machines, and I loaded them with fresh rolls of plastic and activated the air compressor to inflate the bubble wrap. Soon, the entire loading dock was filled with layers and layers of bubble wrap. I was enveloped in it and found it comforting. The voice instructed me to grab some tape and bring form to the bubble wrap. When that was finished, I then went to the area that kept those stainless steel picks used for surgery. I grabbed a huge box of them, and with more tape, put them where the voice instructed. I questioned the logic of making this out of bubble wrap, and then also things that were designed to pop said bubble wrap, and the voice finally lost all pretense of patience with me and roared with anger. My exhausted, malnourished brain and body went into a fetal position, and all went dark. My endeavor finally caught up with me, and I fell into a frightful slumber. In my dreams, I felt as if I connected to the being that had started this path of madness. Decades of water and waste, human, animal, and things unspeakable to mention, had flowed through the waste reclamation plant and combined with the liquids and heat of the cardboard manufacturing plant in order to create something which had achieved a crude form of sentience. I could see that it felt that it should be able to transfer that sentience to things that we would consider inanimate. I saw the abomination and the plans it had for the warehouse, the town, and then even the world itself. It turned its misshapen mockery of a skull, multiple eyes glowing with an unholy light, and I screamed. The scream lurched me into consciousness, and I shivered as I realized I had slept on the cold, concrete floor. I continued to hear the screaming that filled my ears, and knew it wasn't me screaming. I had fallen silent upon awakening. The scream seemed to come from all around me. A glance at my watch confirmed that it was early Monday morning. My fellow co-workers would have entered the building. The tunnel system probably triggered their natural curiosity, and they decided to investigate. The fools, I thought to myself. The screaming could only mean one thing. The bubble monsters had caught them in the cardboard trap and had begun to feed. I have to say, Mr. Douglas Waltz, a good friend of mine who wrote this story, he has a real knack for taking things you might not think would scare you and making them truly terrifying. His last story forever changed the way I see squirrels for the rest of my life. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. I hope you're having a good week. It's a hot one, I gotta say. It's a real scorcher in my little recording tomb, but I'm still managing to get the episodes done on time because, well, when things are important, you're willing to bake for them. I want to give a huge thank you to all the brand new and long-standing Patreon backers. You guys have really helped me keep bringing the spooky on the weekly. And speaking of which, I want to say an extra special thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, folks who pay just a little bit more every single month to hear their names on the show. And they are Christopher Sullivan, Gino Lyons, Karen Wiemet, Jack Kerr, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, and Kevin Fry. Thank you all from the bottom of my black heart for helping me keep the show going. If you want to join them in keeping the program going and with limited advertising breaks, all you have to do is go to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon. And if Patreon isn't your thing, we have merchandise, we have a tip jar, all kinds of ways you can show us some direct support, and it really, truly will mean the world to me. Anyway, my friends, I need to get moving because myself and Rob Fields have cooked up quite a terrifying mini-series for the month of July, and I know you're really, really going to enjoy it. Consider July your vacation in the devious town of Strickfield, Ohio. For our executive producer, Rob Fields, our producer, Dan Wilder, and our composer, Ray Mattis, I will talk at you next week, and I surely, surely look forward to it.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.